it's rain. Good morning, Into the Void listeners. I was singing a little Fleetwood Mac there because I saw an Instagram video of a horse dancing, and now that song is stuck in my head. This is the 20th episode of Into the Void. I'm your host, Scott Ferdella. If you haven't been to FeetSocks.com yet, drop what you're doing. Click the link in my Instagram bio at Scott Ferdella or at Into the Void Podcast to save $20 off the most comfortable socks you've ever worn in your life. Buy a box, save $20. You won't need to buy socks again for a whole year, I promise. My first box had a dozen pairs in it, and now I wear them every single day. They have no-show socks, dress socks, knee socks, hoodies, swimwear now, and they have a massive selection of designs. So I'm sure you'll find something you love. It's feetsocks.com, but if you click the link in my bio, you'll save $20 off your first purchase. Also, as some of you may remember, last year, Southpaw was a retailer for tickets to the second annual Voodoo Rockfest at the Napanee Fairgrounds. Presented by K-Rock, Voodoo Rockfest is a family-friendly event that showcases a ton of indie rock bands. There's campsites, food trucks, lots of unique vendors, and of course, craft beer. This year, as a thank you, Joe and Wendy comped me 2 tickets and gave me 6 tickets to give away. So here's what I'm going to do. If you or someone you know are in the market for a new vehicle between now and September 21st, which is the date of the show, come see me at Petrie Ford. If you buy a vehicle from me before then or refer someone that buys a vehicle before then, I'll throw in 2 tickets and upgrade them to weekend camping passes on me. I only have 6 tickets to give away, so if you've been planning on buying a vehicle anyway, might as well come see me. Right? Right. Check out Voodoo Rockfest on Facebook, like their page, and select going to their event. Now, my guest today is Carrie Arthurs, or you may know her by her Instagram handle as @thepaperweight. She's a tattoo artist of 18 years who owns a shop in Alberta, and she has a very unique style. She's also a huge Seinfeld fan, so if you're feeling nostalgic and you love the show, this episode is for you. I devised a little quiz for Carrie that we played somewhere in the middle, and if you get all the questions right, kudos to you. But her and I talk about tattooing, dating, Seinfeld, and a few other shows, being a woman in a traditionally male industry, and more. I had a lot of fun talking to her. She's super down to earth, and this was actually the first time we'd ever talked. So enjoy Carrie Arthurs. Carrie Arthurs, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Scott?
I'm wonderful. So you're like 2 hours behind me. You're in Saskatchewan? Is that right?
No, Alberta.
Alberta. Sorry. My bad. And how is it? Have you lived there your whole life?
I've lived in Alberta my whole life, you bet.
That's wicked. How did you get into tattooing? For people that don't know, I would have introduced you, but you're a tattoo artist. You've been tattooing for... You've owned your own shop, I think, for 11 years, right?
Yeah.
And you've been tattooing for 18 years?
You betcha.
Right on. How did you get into it?
Well, when I was 14, I went into a tattoo shop in Northern Alberta with my cousin, who was of age at the time. She wanted to get tattooed, so we walked in there, and this old biker in the shop asked me if no one claimed me in 30 days, can he keep me? And then I was like, wow, this place is cool. And I started hanging out there on a regular basis. Eventually, I finished art school. I started asking a guy to teach me to tattoo.
Right on. So you actually went to like fine arts, or?
I did. Yeah, I have a bachelor of fine arts degree in drawing.
Oh, cool.
So went from school to tattooing. I didn't really have any other life career. Basically, I mean, I did the odd job when I was in school, but yeah, I'm basically out of school into tattooing.
And you have a pretty unique style. Like, it's like mostly, what would you call it? Like the stippling kind of dot work?
Yeah, I do a lot of textural work. So a mm-hmm. lot of, stippling, dot work, pointillism, etching, are really like a focus on line work and texture.
Mm-hmm. And has that always been your style, or did you kind of like develop that style over 18 years?
Yeah, I would say in the last maybe 6 years, it's really progressive. It's just more of a reflection of the personal art practice that I'm doing.
Okay.
I just made the switch to tattoo similar to the art I do instead of keeping those separate, which I don't know why I was doing for so long, but mm-hmm. that's just how I was taught. to be more versatile in tattooing, which is what I was doing up until that point. But
yeah, that's a big difference I've noticed in tattooing the last maybe 5-6 years. Mainly just with Instagram, you're seeing a lot more artists specific to one thing. And then that translates to the, like, I guess their personal art is specific to one thing. And then you're seeing that translate to they're being a lot more selective about the types of clients that they'll take because they're only doing their own art, which I don't think is a bad thing because, I think you're probably getting a better product if, like a better end result if the artist sticks to exactly what they're good at. And like, you kind of want that as a client too. Like if I'm going for traditional Japanese, I probably, you know, I wouldn't necessarily go to you because if your specialty is like etching and dot work, you know what I mean? Then, yeah.
Totally. I definitely don't think that it's, people who specialize in stuff is anything new. I just think it's more common because you're seeing it more, and it's less common than a tattooer being versatile because there's littler need for that in the industry now. I mean, mm-hmm. those are more of a rarity when I first started tattooing, because I've been in the industry now for 22 years. When I first started tattooing, it was being versatile was the norm because everybody was more in walk-in shops as opposed to now where there's more private specialized shops. But I mean, there still was people who were doing just traditional, just Japanese, stuff like that, just portraits. But I mean, it's you're just seeing it more because there's more access to it now with social media and stuff like that.
I feel like back in the day, it would probably, like, you would take a long time. You'd have to be in the industry for a long time, I feel like, to carve out your own little niche like that. Like, before social media, if you wanted to specialize in just one thing, you'd have to have a huge client base that are willing to travel to see you. And particularly before social media, like word of mouth and whatever, you just have to get your name out there somehow to make a living off that, wouldn't you?
Yes and no. I mean, it was like anything before social media. It's you had your conventions, you had your word of mouth, you had people who traveled to see you to look at your portfolios. But I mean, guys like bigger names like Ed Hardy and Paul Jeffries, I mean, those guys all started before social media. And Paul specifically does like large scale Japanese work. So I mean, for him, he specialized in that forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just the vehicle now is different, right? And our access to it is faster and quicker. So for people to specialize now, it's just they go right from learning to tattoo, even to being self-taught, to specializing in just something that they want to specifically do. It's just there's not that there's a need for being versatile, because being versatile is awesome. I think that's a rarity thing, but it's just people see more specialized stuff now, so I think that's what they gravitate toward.
Yeah, well, you have more options for sure. I mean, there's now that you can see the range of artists that are out there, and if you're willing to travel a little bit, like for example, for somebody like me in the Kingston area, if you follow a couple shops in Toronto, a couple shops in Kingston and the surrounding areas, like wherever else, you could travel. I mean, Montreal, you could travel maybe within a 5-hour drive and find surely like somebody that you think is amazing.
You guys have a lot of great talent out there.
Yeah, and whereas before, like, social media, you're pretty much, nobody's just going to drive aimlessly and be like, and just hope that a shop is good. Otherwise, you'd have to hear word of mouth or see it in a magazine or whatever and just trust that those reviews are good. Whereas now I think with social media, like, for example, you've got a huge social media following. And you can see your entire portfolio of your art specifically in like on your profile. So it's just like a better representation, I think, of the artist's work. Whereas when you see it in a magazine, you don't know how much they paid for that piece or whatever. You know what I mean? It's kind of biased, or potentially could be.
I don't know. I don't don't necessarily agree with that. I don't know if it's necessarily biased if it's in a magazine, because you're submitting your own work.
Okay.
To the magazine, right? And it's just it's just being reprinted, or if they're doing an interview on you too.
Okay, I didn't know if it works like every other magazine where you pay for a spot or whatever.
But... No. Mm. You don't get paid for it. No, okay. Definitely not. No. Mm. It's the same thing. It's a vehicle for free advertising. It's the same.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about the social media aspect of it, because you have a fairly large social media following. When did that start up? Like, obviously it's been growing over a number of years, I imagine, but was there ever a point where it just blew up for you?
Yeah, maybe like 3 years ago-ish. I had a public profile and I was going to repost it more, and now I've gone back to private, so it's a little more quieter, and then the algorithms change and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been good.
Was there any, like, did you get reposted somewhere, or?
It's just on tattoo pages. You know?
Yeah, for sure. And what's that like, having that many followers? Because most people don't.
I think there's people who have way more followers than I do.
No, for sure, but most people, you know, the average person would have under 1,000 typically, like probably under 500.
I think I'm getting the same amount of traffic. You know what I mean? Because I don't have a business profile, so I don't know.
Oh, right. You can't see the metrics?
Because I'm private, so it's just, right? I literally have to approve everybody that wants to be my friend and all that jazz. But it's like, I think I don't get massive likes on my pictures. You know what I mean? I think it's the same amount of traffic. It's just a lot of people.
Yeah, it's weird that way, that the way the Instagram algorithms work, actually, because you could have, my business page had, I don't know, like, less than 3,000 followers, but I would get roughly the same amount of likes on a picture that someone with 50,000 might have. And it's strange that it works like that way, that I think just the way it appears in your timeline, the exposure to the number of people is not necessarily the same. Like, you would think it'd be proportional, but I don't think it is. It's strange. I was wondering does that obviously affect business? Like, you must get a lot of clients because of Instagram, or no?
Yeah, but I've been touching pre-Instagram, so it's like, and I mean pre-internet for that matter. So for it's sure. for me to use it, because we were touching with books and Flash and you know what I mean, and magazines. When I started working, it was just, we weren't searching up people. I had MySpace, I remember. I was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
So I definitely do a lot of talking on Instagram, because I allow people to DM me and talk to me. I don't care what vehicle it is. I'm not opposed to discussing tattoo stuff just on, I don't do it just on email. Some people like to just classify it as just email, but I'll talk on any, if you want to text me, I'll talk about it as long as we're booking a tattoo appointment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I'm saying you must get...
Yeah. I mean, slight increase in business, but I mean, if I X my Instagram tomorrow, would it be the same? Maybe. I mean, people know where I am and know where to find me.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You've been long enough, I guess.
Yeah. I wouldn't be worried about it, but it is nice that, I mean, everybody's on there, so it's like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I just find it fascinating now that
ship or you don't, but it's important to be on it, I think.
Yeah, I just find it so interesting now that I'm sure there are new artists that are like making a living because of Instagram. You know what I mean? Like, they've established a client base probably pretty quickly because of their Instagram following. That's crazy to me. It's a neat time to be alive, that's even possible. Definitely. For better or worse, the fact that you've grown your client base over 18 years can only be a good thing, but it's neat that you're capable of doing that so much quicker now. It's an easy shortcut, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's instantaneous, right? You put a picture up and everybody has immediate access to it worldwide if they follow you, or if they don't. I mean, there's Google searches and all that stuff too. So it's like, Instagram's a good thing and it's a bad thing. I mean, the bad thing about it is that it cuts out regionality and it kind of homogenizes everything. But the good thing is that, like I said, everybody has access to it right now on their couch in their underwear. They don't have to get dressed and go to a shop and go to their local shop, and we're not limited to what's just, you know, around the radius of our house anymore.
Yeah, I think one of the best things is the exposure to different styles. Like when I see, do you follow Sasha Unisex?
Maybe.
She's a Russian girl, and she's like, she does these watercolors.
Like the color blocking work and
stuff?
Yeah.
So there's like that, and then there's a couple people in Korea that I find that have a really unique, like, different style. And just seeing, like, the different styles coming from different regions are really neat. And, I mean, that's could be specific to a certain artist. Like, for you, do you get people traveling from further distances now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have people coming up from the States a lot, too, mm-hmm. which is nice.
What's the furthest someone's come?
Oh, goodness. To here? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. When I'm in Toronto, I get a lot of people that come over the border from New York and the proximity is so close.
That's pretty far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you get, well, you must get people from Ontario that travel to Alberta.
Yeah, totally, but they'll wait till I'm in Toronto.
Okay. I was going to say, because that'd be a longer, way longer trip. That's Alberta. Christ, that's a long drive or flight. And you tattoo. One thing we have been talking about that people, I think, are going to be pretty excited about is that you're a huge Seinfeld fan. And I think that's probably how we started talking almost, is that I saw, I don't know, I've seen a lot of Seinfeld tattoos. What was the last Seinfeld tattoo you did?
I haven't done a lot of Seinfeld tattoos. I wish.
Really?
I
thought you did like a Costanza one or something. I have to
look
at your profile.
I did do a Costanza one. That was okay. On my friend, yeah.
Oh, okay. What was it?
Yeah. It was George Costanza, like a little portrait. And then
amazing.
Little word bubble said, can't stand ya.
Who's your, that's hilarious. Who's your favorite character from Seinfeld?
Man, it's, you know what? I go back and forth between George and Elaine, but I think technically I have more in common with Elaine, but George is just like...
George is brilliant. He's just such a neurotic... Like, I think everybody can relate to George a little bit. He's amazing. Anybody that doesn't like Seinfeld, do you trust them, really?
I think there's... We always say there's two kinds of people in this world. People that don't and people that do. And the people that don't are different.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Like, there's a reason why I loved Seinfeld, and I tell everybody this, because Seinfeld was never serious, not once. Like, if you watch Friends, it's not a bad show either, but Seinfeld never did, like, a sweet episode, you know what I mean, where the characters all kind of had a moment. It was always, like, ruthless and sarcastic and hilarious. It was great.
Definitely.
And I think that was, it never took itself too seriously, which was brilliant. And mm-hmm. when you think about how much, like, kids don't know these days, how much Seinfeld influenced pop culture, it's nuts.
It is nuts.
It changed language, like yada, yada, yada. And then all the different girls that Jerry dated, she had man hands, she was a close talker. Those different things. So good.
It is so good. And one of the things that's amazing mm-hmm. about it is it dealt with specific issues that everybody has, but no one was kind of willing to discuss it. There was those kind of issues on the cusp of being not so popular, but everybody deals with that stuff, and everybody still deals with that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
like
still relevant.
Jerry was in the Switch. He was trying to date a roommate, and he was like, how do I make that bridge? I mean, people have been in that situation.
That episode is amazing. That's the episode where they devise, like, the Ménage à Trois episode.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's so good. They're like, right. There's that that montage where they're devising the plan, and they're getting frustrated, and oh man. Then you see Costanza's brilliance. Mm-hmm. So I have devised a little Seinfeld quiz. It's like 8 questions long. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. First question. In the episode The Contest, how did Kramer lose the contest?
he was watching a lady across the street in the adjacent buildings from Killer. She walked around her apartment naked.
Yeah, the nudist. That was, I think, the Virgin episode, right? Or no, it was the same one. Yeah, that was when Jerry's dating the Virgin, and then the lady's naked across the street. That content or that episode was iconic too. The contest episode.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. Still is.
Okay, next question. Where was I? Sidra, Jerry's girlfriend at the time, her boobs were not only real, they were...
spectacular. Yeah.
Who was that? What was her name? It was, was it Tori? Terry Hatcher, that's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah, she was on Superman. Remember that show?
She was, yeah.
And the running jokes too, which was like not done at the time, because like remember she was throughout. I guess not throughout the show, but they brought some characters back more than once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, not her. They only did her that one time.
And then and then
maybe the finale,
yeah. Which again was brilliant that they brought like every iconic character back. The soup Nazi, oh, so good. In the episode with ex-baseball player Keith Hernandez, what struck Newman between the third and the fourth rip?
So the Newman part again, what Newman?
What struck Newman between the third and the fourth rip?
The loogie?
Yes. The magic spit. The magic loogie.
Oh my goodness, the reenactment.
Classic episode. That's yeah. Amazing. Yeah, for anybody that hasn't watched that episode, I think the JFK movie had just come out at the time, and that's why they aired that. That's why that episode was so hilarious. And then Jerry does a reenactment of the magic bullet, and Kramer and Newman call Keith Hernandez a pretty boy, and he spits on them. And well, he thinks they did, but Jerry suspects there was a second spitter. All right. Moving on. According to Frank Costanza, when speaking to George, Festivus isn't over until when?
Oh, Festivus isn't over until one of us gets pinned or something.
Yes, yes. You got it. Festivus isn't over until you pin me, George.
Yeah.
Even that, like, that literally spawned a holiday. People, people actually have Festivus poles that are basically like a coat rack, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, you can buy all kinds of Festivus paraphernalia on the internet.
That's brilliant. God damn it, that show was good. Okay. What chocolate drink did Jerry make a joke about that, according to Kenny Banya... Damn it. She got it before I ended the question. According to Kenny Banya, was gold, Jerry. Gold.
Yeah, round team.
Yeah. Why don't they call it round team?
If the mug is round.
Oh my god, we're like dying right now. Everybody listening to this that's not a Seinfeld fan is like, you fucking nerds. What team does Elaine's boyfriend David Putty cheer for?
Oh, I don't know hockey that well, but it's the Jets or the Devils?
The Devils, yeah.
The Devils, yeah.
The Devils! There's an episode where he puts a priest into a coma, basically.
Yeah.
The face painter episode, yes. Yeah. He paints his face like a devil, and Elaine's upset with him because she's like, well, you can't walk around like that. So good. Would you ever date a face painter?
Oh no.
That's hilarious. Couldn't do it. I mean, what if you got to support the team though? What if he was just really enthusiastic? Couldn't do it.
Right. Well, I don't know. I'm not a big hockey fan.
That's so interesting to me, actually. Now that I think about it, you're covered in tattoos. How dare you?
Yeah.
A guy puts temporary paint on his face, and you're like, "I'm sorry, I just can't." That would be.
I only have 9 face tattoos.
That could be a Seinfeld episode.
There might be more, actually.
You're covered in tattoos. You've got 9 face tattoos. And a person puts temporary face paint on. You're like, nah, I can't. I'm sorry.
It's different.
That actually is a Seinfeld episode. This is a girl that Jerry's dating who has a problem. Remember that? She has a problem with what he does. And he's like, you're a cashier.
Yes. She tells him it's so much fluff. Yeah,
it's just too much fluff.
Yeah.
All right. Final question. In season 5, Jerry sets Elaine up with a guy he thinks will be perfect for her. It all goes well until he takes something out. What was it?
Is it the one with, what's his name, Bryan Cranston or whatever his name is?
Is it him?
Who's the guy from the... I did that. Malcolm in the Middle and the...
Yeah, that's Bryan Cranston. Was it him?
Yeah, it was him.
Is it that guy?
It was his dick that he took out.
Yeah, he takes it out. He takes it out.
Maybe it wasn't him.
I don't know if it was him, but it might have been. Because, I know he was a recurring character, but I don't know if that was him in that scene. But I think you might be right. So Jerry sets Elaine up with a friend of his that, he thinks would be perfect for her. And then at the very end of the date, they're sitting in the car. And Elaine, I think, is going to go in for a kiss or whatever. And she looks down. He's got his dick out.
Yeah.
And which is amazing because this is like the mid-90s. Like, that type of humor was not, you just didn't see it on TV. And then they discuss it, that he took it out.
Yeah. Hilarious. And then they're like, maybe it needed some air.
Yeah. Never in my life. That's amazing.
Not in today's society. Nope.
No, Christ, no. God, you'd be arrested.
Time's up for that, Dick.
Yeah. No, you would be shamed and put on blast, and you'd never work again.
Oh, yeah. No.
Have you ever had somebody take it out on you?
I don't think so.
No? Do you ever get unsolicited dick pics in your DMs because you have so many followers?
Do yes,
you
actually? I do.
Oh, my God. Is it like a frequent thing?
And vids.
Wow.
It was more frequent. I've since made better choices with what I'm posting. So it definitely has narrowed that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but I don't think, even if you were posting pictures of yourself, like, I don't think you're posting anything that would suggest, hey, send me a dick.
You know what? Nothing you post should suggest unsolicited dick pic.
Unless
it's okay.
Explicitly, please send me dick pics. Then, I mean, what are you doing? That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, it's totally bizarre. Yeah.
I hope I don't have friends that send dick pics unsolicited to random people on the internet that you've never met. That's fucking insane.
It's nuts.
it's literally insane.
It does happen a lot. It's super strange. Even if you did know them, it'd be super strange. I mean, we used to... The vehicle of social media is bizarre, and the way that people utilize it is strange too. But sending pictures of your penis. I mean, maybe back in the day when you didn't have such a thing, it'd be like, wow, a picture of somebody's penis. But we really don't. I don't know a woman who's like, ooh, a stranger's dick. Yeah. Check it out. If you're showing us your dick, then everybody's gonna see it, and it's not in a flattering way.
No, and I've never, ever talked to one of my female friends, and they've been like, oh, I love it. I love receiving random dicks. Like, never has anybody ever said that. So I'm trying to wrap my head around the psychology behind, like, what these dudes get out of it. Because you're only, the only thing, I mean, there's a very, very, very small percentage that might like it. Otherwise, you're opening yourself up to... the worst kind of rejection for a guy. Like, if a girl sees that, all she'd have to do, I mean, chances are she won't like it, and then she's just going to carve you for how tiny your dick is, and then you're going to want to kill yourself. So, like, why would you open yourself up
to
that?
There's no mystery anymore, though, either. It's like, how many people do you meet in real life that you've previewed their dick? It's just...
That's true, too, yeah. Yeah.
That kind of guy isn't somebody that you want to date with.
No.
Typical. quickly.
What a weird guy. Like, I don't, yeah. I just can't put my head in that space to sound like a random. Because, like, are these people that you've even talked to, or is it just completely 0 to 100? Just here's a dick.
It's definitely been 0 to 100, yes. Yeah. But it's not here's insane. A dick, like, it's like, here, I want to show you something.
That's insane. Yeah, like, oh, they sneak
there's
it in on you?
There's a lead
up to it. Yeah, okay. There's like some... They're like, oh, you think it's a nice picture of a cat. And they're like, here's my dick. And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, I mean, this doesn't happen nearly as frequently, but a girl that just surprises you with a picture of her pussy, you're like, oh, wow. It's, I mean, it's jarring is what it is. Like, it's, especially when it's out of the blue.
Do you guys get this? Do you guys get unsolicited pussy shots?
No, not nearly as frequently. I mean, it's happened. Tinder is a thing, but...
of course, yeah.
Yeah, not nearly as frequently, I imagine. I don't think girls are like that for the most part, you know? Like, no. Guys
well,
are...
I mean, yes, there probably is some that are, but I think that with that type of stuff, I think that approach is just, it's more aggressive, and it's like...
Why do you think...
Like, I don't know what people are looking for, instant gratification or...
I guess.
Or just being, it's not, what is it when you want to just show people, like you're not a voyeur.
Voyeur.
Like, because that's the viewer. It's like.
Like a dude in a trench coat with a part in the park? Yes. Ugh. Fuck. So this is,
yeah.
Instagram is
who
the
is
park.
That guy?
And these guys are the new trench coat guys. You sick
yeah,
fucks.
What,
but you can never. Sorry, go ahead.
What's the term for that guy?
Oh, exhibitionist? No.
There you go.
Is
oh,
that
well,
it?
Yeah, okay. Something like that.
Okay. But it's also, it's not even anonymous, because, like, you can go to their profile, and, like, if you wanted to, you'd be like, hey, bro, you have a girlfriend. You just sent me a picture of your dick.
Yes.
Like, you could ruin their life. I just don't get guys like that. It's so upsetting. Why are you doing this?
I could do that a whole lot. But
gentlemen.
Not an asshole, and B,
no,
it's not
fair.
My job to
that's nice.
Tell somebody's girlfriend.
It, but it's also...
I'm pretty sure they already know that. I mean, if you're in a relationship with dude...
I would argue, though, that if they've sent you a picture of your dick, all bets are off. Like, they have crossed the line first, you know? Cause
of course, yeah.
In any
I'm
other
not gonna blow up lives, but yes. It
in any other facet of society, if you just pulled your dick out, you're going to jail, son. Like, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. No, you cannot.
It's very strange.
But yeah, it's not that it's acceptable, but it definitely happens more often, yeah.
Huh. Well, that was a very nice tangent on dick showing. Do you ever get other strange messages like that? Like, I guess that's probably the strangest thing you might receive. What about other random messages you get? Do you get, like, I imagine having whatever it is, 45,000 followers or whatever you have, there's got to be some weirdos on there.
Oh, of course there is. I mean, there is always for me, because the thing is, for me, being a woman in who owns her own business and tattoos professionally, there's that gets fetishized, and then the fact that I am so heavily tattooed, that gets fetishized, and then combined with the fact that I'm not a pushover and I'm not a pussy, so I'm like an independent, strong, confident woman, and I'm not modest about my body, and that itself gets fetishized. So there's still there's all that combined. And then I get random messages just due to that, just due to the fact that I have like a ton of tattoos. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you typically date guys that are heavily tattooed then? Because.
No, not necessarily. I've dated men that have zero tattoos. It's strange. I won't say that it wasn't. It was kind of weird. I think that somebody who has, and obviously it didn't last long. I think that somebody who definitely has tattoos or likes tattoos or gets tattoos, there's just more of a common ground and a parallel life there.
The dudes that you dated that had no tattoos, did you ever question their motives? Like, maybe they were kind of fetishizing you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't a good relationship. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Okay, fair. Because I would just imagine the type of straight-laced dude that's like, has no tattoos and probably would never consider getting one, and then looks at you, who's like basically face down. I mean, that's a weird way to say that, but like covered in tattoos from the head down. He's probably just, I don't know, it's like some serial killer shit where he's just got to possess that.
That was just taking a vacation from your regular life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tinder is a weird place.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I can't do that anymore. Yeah.
You can't, I mean, you say that.
It's no good. It's no good.
Listen, you'll be back in like 90 days.
No.
Everybody crawls back.
I'm permanently off that.
What are you on now, the Bumble?
I'm not on anything. I'm just gonna do it the old fashioned.
You're just gonna meet people the old fashioned way. Well, good luck.
Yeah, I don't care. Happen I can't. Anymore. You know what? I have a lot of. I'm really opinionated about Tinder now. I cannot do it.
Okay, what's your thoughts? Obviously, you don't like it.
The difference between Tinder and real life dating is meeting somebody in real life. You have thank goodness, because you have the opportunity to see them and hear them and talk to them and reject them immediately. Whereas Tinder, you have to kind of establish a slight rapport and then meet them. And then you're like, you can't, there's no instantaneous for that.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of the men, in my opinion, that I have found personally, that's not all of them, of course. But we're the ones that are just, that just pertain to my experience on Tinder are full of shit or they're broke. They live with their parents.
That's fair.
But there's usually something exponentially wrong with them. You know what I mean? Like there's one thing in their life that's really fucked.
I mean,
and I'm not saying I'm perfect, but it's cataclysmic. Like it's a very big thing. It's not like a small thing. Not like he leaves his shirt on the bedroom floor and that pisses you off, or his wet towels on the bathroom floor. It's like dude's broken and lives with his parents.
Yeah, I would say on average that's typical of many Tinder users as well. Like nobody's perfect, of course, but there are a lot of emotionally unstable people out there.
Totally. And they get again by that immediate rejection by being able to pose themselves differently on the app, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a second chance app. It's like, I get to...
Constant, and a constant second chance
app. Pretend a little bit, and then get you to go on a date with me, and then you're just like, holy shit.
It's a weird, weird thing. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but it's just such an unusual environment, because you're getting, like, a lifetime of dating in such a short span of time, and a lifetime of rejection, potentially, too. So it's like... if you were ambitious, you could talk to like 10 people at once if you wanted, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And then subsequently get rejected by all 10 of those people at the same fucking time. And
you definitely can.
That's insane. That's unheard of. That's never been done before, I don't think. But yeah, it is very, it's like very contrived, because you have to generate the rapport, like you said. And I agree, when it's organic and in person, like if you see somebody at a bar, you know immediately if you're into that person, and you don't even have to say anything to them. You can just see them. So there's something missing that you don't get with Tinder. So and you'll manufacture that too, because you can meet in person after talking for, say, a week on Tinder. And then you might be like a little bummed about the first connection, but you'll work through it, because, like, you know, well, we've been talking for 2 weeks and I don't want to waste my time, so you know what I mean? Like, you do mental gymnastics to try and, you're like, ugh, well, it's not perfect. I mean, I wouldn't think anybody would be like, ugh, and still go through with it, but but I definitely think there's some settling happening where...
I hope nobody's settling.
Oh, people are settling, for sure. Listen, I mean, settling happens. There's no way that all couples out there right now are all just perfect for each other and happy and in love. There's no way.
No, of course. Relationships take work. That's why not everybody has them. It's because it's hard to do. It's not easy.
Yeah. See, I don't subscribe to that, like, relationships should be hard work. They're a some amount of work, but, like, I don't think they should be hard work.
Well, no, but compared to zero work.
Yeah, for sure. They should be like a little bit, but yeah, I've been through relationships before where it's like, Jesus Christ, it shouldn't be this hard. You know what I mean?
Of course not.
Like you're exhausted all the time, and that shouldn't be it. And I think a lot of young people go through that. I mean, maybe that's just a rite of passage, but probably everybody has one of those at some point in their life where they're just like, yeah, it shouldn't be, I don't know, it shouldn't be work. That's just my thoughts. Carrie, any thoughts on dating? So you're off everything now. How are you meeting people? Are you going to bars?
No. I don't go to bars. I'm straight edge, man. I'm not a big bar scene person. Mm. I don't drink, so there's no social lubricant there for me. You know,
coffee,
I mean?
Shops.
I kind of feel out on the sidelines in that scene.
You just slide up to somebody at Starbucks, like, damn boy, what are you drinking? No. You got that dark roast.
I could. I'm super confident. And, yeah. I definitely am not a person who waits around. Like if there's something that I want, I'll try and get it. But it's, I don't know. Maybe I'll do that.
I feel like you'd be a fairly, for most guys, like a fairly intimidating person too. Like a girl that's covered head to toe.
I've heard that term a lot.
I think it's, like I don't necessarily think you're an intimidating person, but like appearance wise, a girl that's covered head to toe, much the same as like a guy that's covered head to toe in tattoos, would be probably an intimidating, because you, and I'm trying to delve into like the psychology of that. I think you would probably conjure in your mind like a lifestyle that accompanies those tattoos, even though you're probably just like a perfectly normal person, lives like a pretty low-key, chill lifestyle. But like, when you see a guy that has head tattoos, like myself, like I have bald head, but I don't have head tattoos, but like, see a guy with tattoos that cover his head and then his neck and all the way down, you're like, that guy has probably been through some shit. You know what I mean? Even though, I mean, it's 2018. Maybe not. Like, he could be just a straight-laced dude.
I'm saying more often than not now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it's still, like, you have that preconceived notion that you're like, ugh, that guy might be a dirtbag.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that because I'm one of that
No, I agree.
But yeah, for somebody who isn't tattooed, I can see the stereotype.
For your boy that has no tattoos, he's probably like, oh, this girl's seen some shit.
That's cool though, but it's like this way. I'm automatically weeding out that whole part of the dating pool where I don't want to be in. Right?
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of waiting for it to happen then.
Just yeah, or I'll just
in and out of grocery stores. You're in the produce section. There's a lot of melons and ripe fruit. Yeah, a lot of squeezing. And that was a Seinfeld reference. Did you get it? Have you seen Jerry's new stand-up? It's on Netflix.
The stand-up special that he did on Netflix.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah.
He brings back his, for anybody that hasn't seen it, he brings back his like old comedy specials, basically, like bits of it from the 80s and 90s, just to show that it's still like relatable today. And, oh, it's brilliant. Like, he's such a good comedian.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. And huge car collector too. Dude has like, I mean, as many cars. No, I think they both have like a car garage, like a parking garage full of cars that they own. And they're nice too. They're nice cars.
Yeah.
So he has that show on Netflix.
You know what
too.
I mean? What's like, that? He's a famous arrogant asshole.
No, he's a bit of an asshole, but not like not in a.
Not really. I don't think he is. I mean, no. He lets people take his picture. He's not weird about
not
that.
Not in a
you know?
in a diva-ish way. He's an asshole like a regular person would be an asshole. Like, did you ever see when Kesha tried to take a hug or give him a hug?
I wouldn't hug a person.
Exactly. No,
either.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That's like a normal person reaction. Because she just came up and she was like, oh my God, Jerry Seinfeld. She tries to hug him and he's like, no.
Exactly.
And just like
forget
steps
about
aside.
It.
He's like, and then she
just
tried
give
again.
You free passage to just grab somebody just because they're famous.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's the problem was that he didn't know who Kesha was, which is the bigger issue. But
yeah, true. I mean,
for Kesha, not for him.
Yeah, no, he's Jerry Seinfeld. Get out of here. He doesn't have to know anybody. Did you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, I love Curb. Yeah,
I've only seen a handful of episodes. I didn't watch it as much. I should go back and watch it though.
It's fantastic. Yeah,
yeah, Larry David is just brilliant. He's amazing.
Of course, yes. I mean, Seinfeld was based on
Yeah,
Larry's
Costanza.
Life, like
yeah.
events in his actual life.
Yeah, I have the DVDs, like all nine seasons on DVD, and I remember listening to the audio tracks on them. And they've talked about it a couple times. Like there was the episode where Kramer does it's the Kramer tour. Like there's a guy that's based
off
of.
The Peterman reality tour?
Was it that? It might have been. But they based that on an actual character in David's life. Like it's brilliant how they've taken people out of his fucked up life and yeah. Mm-hmm. Written them into the
exactly.
show.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the four main characters are all based on Larry as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Yeah, Costanza mainly, I think, isn't it?
All four of them are basically. Oh, but okay. I mean, yeah, Cassandra's probably the most relatable to him.
So good. Oh my god. If you haven't seen it, go watch it right now. It's too bad it's not on Netflix. It needs to be.
Yeah.
I'd watch that show end to end if it was on Netflix, like constantly. Right yeah. now, my go to if I have to throw something on would be The Office. It's really, really good. I started watching The Kingdom, which is, or Animal Kingdom, that's what it is. It's like a little bit corny, but I don't know. It's something to watch. What are you watching?
What am I watching right now? I think I'm in between stuff at the moment. It's, I go back to Seinfeld. I do watch a little bit of Roseanne. I know old stuff.
Oh, no.
Even though she's super racist.
Yeah. And, I never got into that show, ever.
What's that?
I never got into that show, Roseanne, ever.
I love the character who plays Roseanne's sister, Jackie. Oh, I love her. I can't
Jackie.
Remember her name.
Wasn't that
Lori Metcalf? She's amazing.
Wasn't that Ellen at one point?
Wasn't it what?
Ellen. Wasn't Ellen on that show?
She was not on that show.
No.
No. Well, no.
Did she have her own show?
Yeah, she had her own show. It was called Ellen, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? What did she come out on that show though? Who was it? Was it maybe it was the daughter, Darlene. One of them came out as gay, or maybe it was Roseanne's sister came out as gay on the show, and that was like a big deal in the 90s. I remember it happening.
No.
Am I completely off
I've
on
watched
that?
That series front to back.
No, nobody came out on Ellen or on Roseanne. Oh,
no,
I'm totally off.
I don't think so. Let me just take a second. I don't.
You know what's staggering though is.
Oh no! The pinnacle main character was Roseanne's boss. His name was Leon.
Okay.
He was gay. Oh, her mother was gay. You're right.
Okay.
Her mother.
Her mother was.
Yeah, Bev.
Okay.
Bev.
Okay.
Yes.
And but actually,
later
like
on in the series,
I think,
yeah.
yeah, I think they wrote her in as gay. I don't think in real life she was gay, but I think the actress who plays Darlene was actually gay, and I remember that being like a, I don't know, it was a special episode where they all like she came out and they had a moment where they were like, this is a serious thing and blah blah blah, and everybody cheered for her and whatever.
I missed this one.
I feel like I could be making that up. It was a long time ago. I could be just completely bullshitting and thinking of another show.
Yeah, I've watched Silicon Valley. I've watched that I really like. Another one that I really like, even though they had two seasons, was How to Make It in America. That was an amazing series that HBO did.
What is it?
I got canceled a while ago. How to Make It in America.
Oh, okay.
They canceled it forever ago. But the two seasons are amazing.
I just got on the Rick and Morty train. I just started watching that show.
It's animated though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of animation. I mean sometimes.
It's not bad. I just wanted to watch it because it's everywhere now. Like I see Rick and Morty tattoos everywhere. On Instagram anyway. And
you like it?
It's not bad. Like it's silly. So it's funny, but I appreciate it. But I don't know. It's nothing. It's no Seinfeld. Like,
no, I like Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, I love H. John Benjamin. Like Archer is brilliant. I think it's. Go ahead.
Did you ever watch Sanjay and Craig?
No, I watched Home Movies. That's a throwback. Do you remember that show?
No.
Home Movies was this shitty animated. When I say shitty, it was like really poorly animated, almost like South Park. And H. John Benjamin voiced the coach, And it was really, like, all the humor in it was really dry like that. And, yeah, it was, at the time, brilliant. I think it was on Teletoon. It was great, though. It's probably only, like, 3 seasons long. But it was good. It was good. Do you have any travel plans coming up?
My kids and I are going to Palm Springs next week just for a vacation.
Sweet. Palm Springs, Florida, yeah. Why?
California.
Oh, California. Why California in the summertime? It's probably a bajillion degrees. I suppose. It's gonna be never mind. You're not in Kingston. I guess though it is like record high temperatures everywhere though, right now.
It is. California in the summertime, it's not like I don't like the heat, otherwise I wouldn't go. You know,
yeah. What are you guys gonna do there? Just chill in the hot weather?
Swim in the pool, man.
Nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I haven't been on a vacation in forever.
That'd be fun.
Oh yeah. That would be neat. How is have you ever been there? Have you ever been to Disneyland?
I've been to Disney World. I haven't been to Disneyland.
Disney World's the one in Florida?
It's not much different.
Is that the one in Florida?
The one in Florida, yes.
Yeah, I've been to that one as well. My favorite was Universal Studios. But
that was good. We went there, yeah.
Yeah, I guess with kids, Disney World is probably better, but I think there's more, like, adult stuff to do at Universal Studios. Plus, I would love to go back as an adult, because that Harry Potter world looks dope.
Yeah, they didn't want to do that when we were there.
What?
No, my kids aren't big Harry Potter fans. The Simpsons was on, so they were super into that.
Simpsons world would be sweet. That's a show that needs to die, though, don't you think?
Does it? I mean, it's only had 29 seasons.
Fuck. They've ruined it, I think. I mean, I don't know.
They ruined it? How can they ruin it?
They've ruined it. Because they jumped the shark like 10 years ago. I don't know. I hate when shows do that. That's my pet peeve. When good shows take it far too long and then, I don't know. Yeah. And then I think about myself. I'm like some asshole in a condo that's like, turn it off. It was better before. Do your thing. I don't care. Obviously, people are still watching it.
Yeah.
I haven't been on a vacation in 2 years now. I think my next vacation is going to be Italy. I want to do...
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I want to do Trapia, Italy.
Nice.
Yeah. You should look it up. It's amazing. It's. I don't know how I found it, actually. I think one of my old customers put it... like posted it on my wall or something, and it's just this oceanside village that all these houses and stuff are built right into the mountain, and then the water is just like crystal clear and like two different kinds of blue, and it's just so beautiful. So I want to check it out. I imagine it's expensive as fuck and in there though, 'cause it's not anywhere close to anything where you would normally fly in. Like, normally you'd fly into Rome or Naples or wherever, but oh well, it'll be worth it, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, Carrie Arthurs, I have to go slap some roofs, so where can people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you?
You can go on to my website and email me, which is blackgirlelectric.com. Instagram is at thepaperweight. If you have my phone number, then you can text me.
Okay. Don't send her dick pics.
Yeah, but probably Instagram is the easiest way. Mm.
And no unsolicited dick pics.
No, we're good on those.
Yeah. And are you touring at all in Canada doing tattooing?
No plans right now, because I'm just going to finish the summer out with my children and then be in the shop until the end of the year, probably.
Okay. Go to the website, follow her on Instagram. You can follow me at Scott Ferdella or at Into the Void Podcast. And next week, I don't know yet. We'll figure it out. Thank you, Carrie. And thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye.